Okay. Rabbi Yeshiv. Tav Shin Pei. So, first let's take a look at Sfas Emes. Pasuk says in Mishle, Az Telech Lavetach, you'll walk securely, right? Darkecha will be a path, at least secure. Raglecha lo sigof, right? And your legs will not, stumble or endure any pain, really, recall, receive any sort of blow. Right? You walk securely, raglecha lo sigof.
Sigof is pain?
Sigof is what you call it, is like, bashed up, like what do you call it, negifa by a shore, is like he gives you like a butt, he smashes you. Notice you won't bash up your legs.
You walk along the path of Yiddishkeit or anything?
Right. Belechtecha lo yitzar tzadecha v'im tarutz lo tikoshel. As you're walking, your steps, will be the right size. V'im tarutz, and if you run, you will not stumble. Perish, so this is what he called. Af kiyak of borach, right? This is good. This is in Parshas Vayetze. Af kiyak of borach. Even though Yaakov fled, and as he was fleeing, what he called from Israel, Siva Yivrach Yaakov, Afal Pi King Siva Yetze Vayelech. Even though the Navi tells us he was running, because he had to run away from Esav, but nonetheless, when it describes in the Chumash, it says Vayetze Vayelech. Right, he went out and he walked. In other words, even when you have to do something in a rush, Ki Atzadik Miyasher Aderech. The tzaddik always is what he called. He's never ruled by his circumstances. Even if his circumstances require drastic action on his part, like he's got to flee, but nonetheless he does it without being in a state of behalaf, of like he doesn't lose his focus. Sh'af she'tzorech l'rutz hu b'derech yashar. Even though he has to run. Nonetheless, it's a straight path. He's doing it with thought beforehand. Basically, the idea is don't lose it under the pressure. Right? Under pressure. That's what he called. That's the tzaddik.
That's what he says. He went out and he walked.
Right. So, in other words, even though he's the Navi, what he called, really describes him, says, Vayivrach Yaakov. He fled. Right? And that makes sense because he was fleeing from Esav. But nonetheless, in the Chumash, it talks about Yetzeh Vayelech. He went out and he walked. In other words, he probably was running. But he was running, right? Not running in a state of pandemonium, in a state of confusion, a state of panic, etc. He's running because you need to run now, but it doesn't mean you have to lose your muffins. Shekol Zahiyah Lahachin Makom Mnei Israel. He's trying to, as it were, set the pattern for the Jewish people in the future. Lachin Hiches Atzah B'cholam Makomos. That's why he put himself in all these situations where Hashem's presence was very hidden. Because he knew his children would be in difficult situations. What do you call it? Right? Oh, so we'll see what he called it. The fact that he was in Lavan's house and the fact that he had to deal with all these things, but we'll see in just a moment. Right? In the Beis HaMikdash, interestingly enough. This is again in Parshas Vayetze. That's two Parshas ago. When he came to the place, the Makom HaMikdash. He gets up in the morning and he says, "Wow, Achein Yesh Hashem b'Makom Hazev Anochi Lo Yadati. Hashem was in this place and I didn't realize." Now, record. Why didn't he realize? Right? And he says, "Uchsiv," right? Ishahaya b'makom meruchak ma'od. He's saying, "Ki'ilu, I would never thought that I could find Hashem over here." We talked about this once before. I would never think I could find Hashem over here. And now I see, after he had the dream with the ladder, I see he find him over here also. Now he's talking about the base of Mikdash. How can he possibly say, in the place of the Mikdash, I would thought you couldn't find Hashem over here? Right? And then it surprised him when he gets up in the morning, he says, "Wow, behold, Hashem is here also." So I think the idea is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right, showed him, that's the next Medrash down over here, right, also here, it says, he showed him the base of Mikdash in its state of being built. He showed the base of Mikdash in its state of being destroyed. And then he showed it again to him, being rebuilt again. So I think that perhaps the idea is he, in other words, you'd think that when the Beis Hamikdash is destroyed, or you'd think in general, there are certain instances in life, certain events in life, where of course Hashem is there. That's ridiculous. Hashem is everywhere. But that you won't be able to find it. It'd be too, the darkness would be too deep.
That's what we want.
Right, that I think is Yaakov's state of wonderment in the morning. I thought, wow, behold, Hashem is over here. You know, of course, Hashem is everywhere. That's ridiculous. Elamai, what he called, I thought I couldn't find Hashem over here. Because, excuse me, because if he saw the Beis Hamikdash in its destroyed state, in other words, we're talking about states for the Jewish people, experiences for the Jewish people, experiences for individuals, right? Where they, I can't find Hashem over here. It's too much of a mess. It's too dark, it's too confusing. I can't find him here. Kamash Ralan, you can find him everywhere. Okay, so that's really cool. That was Yaakov in Parshas Vayetzin. The Pasuk says in Ovadia, right, this was the Haftorah from last week, right, it says V'haya beis Yaakov eish, and the house of Yaakov was fire, u'beis Yosef lahava.
Start over again.
Bahaya, here. Bahaya. I have a cold. That's why I don't know what I got. I got an allergy.
So what does Avadia say?
Avadia says, Bahaya beis Yaakov eish, and the house of Yaakov is fire. Ubeis Yosef lahava, and the house of Yosef is like the flame. Like the flame carries the fire. Ubeis Esav lakash, and the house of Esav is like straw. And the fire will, of course, will ignite the straw and consume it. There'll be nothing left of the house of Esav. Ki Hashem dibir, for Hashem has spoken.
There's an interesting story with my singer told me last week.
Yeah.
The king wanted to kill him because he died and he owed him the king money. He borrowed money.
Yeah.
Who's the king at the time? This was, I guess, after the division of the tribes.
Right.
He wanted to, and he saved the Kohanim.
Avadia, right. Avadia.
He split them up 50-50.
Right, whatever. He took most of them. But this is, we're talking about here, this is later than that. This is what he called, this is not by Yerovam, this is what he called, this is Yoram ben Achav. And because Achav was what he called, Achav was he and his wife Jezebel, right? They were called. They were like terrible Rishonim. They were trying to kill all the Neviim. And even so, he borrowed from the son of Achav. He borrowed from him money in order to be able to, but he had to pay ribis on it. Right, in order to be able to sustain the Neviim, right? What he called.
Then he died.
Right, he died, and his wife owed what he called had to pay the debts, but they were coming to collect the usury. But she had Hashem, Elisha made said what he called, not Elisha, what he called. She made Hashem made a miracle, right?
The jugs of water,
right? The oil, poured the oil, and just kept on pouring and pouring and pouring and pouring and pouring. Right. Aishas, that would call it Elisha, and Aishas Avadia, the wife of Avadia. In any event, so what it called, so that's what the Pasuk says, that Yosef is the extension of Yaakov. He's the flame of Yaakov's fire. So Sfasemis says, Nirik Yosef Zocha al Yedeha Mechira. He says such an interesting thing here. In other words, if we're talking about, whenever we talk about the idea of Yosef being the extension of Yaakov, so we talk about it in terms of the things he accomplishes, and he's similar to Yaakov, his experiences are similar to Yaakov. But what it suggests over here is just as Yaakov understood when he came to the Mokom HaMikdash, that even though you might experience, yeah, things in life where you think you won't be able to find Hashem, the fact is when you could always find Hashem. That's what Yaakov understood when he came to the Mokom HaMikdash. Even though he saw the Mokom HaMikdash, he saw the place of the Beis HaMikdash, of Hashras, Hashchin, he saw it in both a state of building and a state of destruction. Hashem revealed it in a state of destruction. So you'd say, when he called a state of destruction, that's it. I mean, you're not going to be able to find the Rabbeinu Shalom in situations like that. You're not going to be able to find the Rabbeinu Shalom in situations where, what he called, where so much pain and so much confusion and so many things going wrong and so much bad stuff. I won't be able to find him here. But Yaakov says, no, you can find him here. So now I want to suggest that Yosef, because Yosef is the flame of Yaakov, Yosef takes it a step further. He takes it out into the world in terms of his experience. Not just in terms of a prophetic experience like Yaakov had in the Mokom HaMikdash. Yeah, he said, you know, it's really dark over here, but nonetheless, you can find Hashem. He concluded you can find Hashem even though it's dark. Yosef, right, his experience was like totally, totally dark. Totally dark. How so?
Go ahead.
We'll see. Nira Yosef zoch al yedei mechira, right? Right. Yosef. Right. After all, imagine Yosef. He is this incredible tzaddik, incredible tzaddik. He's the ben skunim of Yaakov. Yaakov teaches him all of his wisdom. He's on a qualitatively different level than everyone else, including his brothers. And because of that, he, whenever he sees, like the first Gur Aryeh in Vayeshev talks about how he, why did he bring back all these tales about his brothers, about that they were guilty of Yosef, yeah, right, when he spoke ill about his brothers to his father. Right? He talks about the idea of there being a suspect with regard to Avram and Achai, right, and they're being, you know, what do you call it? Maybe they're not conducting themselves in a tzanua fashion with the Canaanitish women, and that they consider, what do you call it, they consider the children of Bilhah and Zilpah like slaves, and this is all because,
right? Why did he do that?
Because he was, says the Gur Aryeh, the Maharal, the first Maharal in Vayeshev, he says, because since he was on such a high level, like, he hadn't totally grown into his tzidkus, right? In other words, he was on such a high level, when he saw them being what he considered lax in any of these areas, he immediately assumed they were guilty of what he called of a complete transgression. Like, let's say, for instance, he saw them doing business with a Canaanite woman. How can you mingle with them, Bechlal? So that, in his mind, that's an infraction. That's stepping beyond the boundaries. Oh, God forbid, they must be guilty of what he called conducting themselves in a non-tzanua fashion with them. He sees them, as it were, not treating with as much respect the children of Bilhah and Zilpah, right? It must be, they consider them like slaves, right? This is all, you know, this is a projection, it's going a step further. It's not the way it was. But because of his entirely, you know, his very high level, there's a din in Chulin that you shouldn't leave your slaves in charge of preparing your meals, because when they're under pressure, they'll take Avram and Achai. They'll just rip a piece off of an animal, right? He saw them allowing their servants to prepare their things. He said, they must be eating Avram and Achai, right? Etc. These were all called, these were all magnifications of flaws that only he saw because he was on such a high level. So imagine, so he sees himself as this incredible tzaddik. The next thing he knows, his brothers are trying to kill him, right? They would require, they sell him into slavery. So it's like, huh? What happened? How can that be? But he doesn't lose his faith. Right? He knows that everything that comes from Hashem, Ibn Kod, is good. He doesn't lose his faith. All throughout all the parshas, wherever Yosef is talking, he's always bringing up Hashem's name. Elohim, God has got the answers. God will answer, Ibn Kod, you. And even though the world is upside down, for instance, for him, Nira, says the Sfas Emes, Ki Yosef Zocha, Aidea Mechira, it's an unbelievable thing. What did he gain from being sold? He gained from being sold, being accustomed to being shamed. And as he lived what he called, because he was such a tzaddik, and he felt that he had to conduct himself in such an aristocratic fashion, not because he was a balgaifa, but because he felt, being that he's representative, he's Yaakov's son, and he is, you know, Baruch Hashem, he's so closely attached to Hashem, he has to treat himself with kavod. Again, not shalom lishma. Lishma. That's the idea of his combing his hair, etc.
So what are you saying?
He was at a very high level.
So therefore he had to experience humiliation?
Right. So he was used to living a very aristocratic life. Once again, not because he wanted to, you know, have the good life, etc. He felt that was the appropriate way for a person to show kavod, what he called, to the Torah, to the level that he was on. So he had to conduct himself in a mechubad fashion. But what happens is then they sell him, they rip his clothes off, right? They throw him into the pit, yeah. They sell him as a slave. So the Sfas Emes says Nirik Yosef Zocha al idea mechira. What he gained from being sold, right? Then he was shamed by them. They tore off his coat, threw him into the pit, sold him as a slave. Even though he had no second thoughts about Hashem, like, why are you doing this to me? I'm such a tzaddik, right? What have I done wrong? I've done nothing wrong. Because see, at this point, he couldn't understand that he did anything wrong. If he'd known he was doing something wrong, he wouldn't have done it. If he'd known that what he called that this was the wrong thing to say or the wrong way to look at his brothers, but he being on such a high level and not accustomed to dealing with how do you deal with other people who are not on the same level as you are. That's a madrega. You know, first you've got to be on the high level, and then after you're on that incredibly high plane, you got to figure out, and now how do I deal with everybody else?
Intellectual honesty and this and that.
It's like Rav Shimon Bar Yochai.
It's been my problem.
It's like Rav Shimon Bar Yochai when he went into the cave. Right, he came out of the cave. The first thing he did when he was coming out of the cave is everybody he saw was involved in mundane things. He turned them into post toasties. Right? He had to go back into the cave again and come back out again and record it after another year. And then he understood how to look at other people who weren't on his madrega. Again, for us, it's not an issue. We always think we're open-minded. But really, it's not because we're open-minded. It's because we're open-minded. Our brains have fallen out. Right? It doesn't make any difference to us. If we were standing, you know, for instance, imagine. We see Chalil, what he calls Chilul Shabbos, right? God forbid, I mean, Baruch Hashem, we don't see it here. But I remember, you know, what he calls, you know, certainly, I mean, there are places, God forbid, you can see it. You can see it. So you know, it's tisk, you know, it's not nice, it's terrible, it's really, you feel bad about it, etc. But it's not like you fall into a dead faint, right, if you see somebody being Chilul Shabbos. But if you're standing in the Louvre, right, and somebody walks over with a sakin yapani to the, what he calls, to the Mona Lisa, and slashes the Mona Lisa, everybody's going to need a defibrillator, right? And they're going to fall on the ground. The Mona Lisa! The Mona Lisa! The Mona Lisa! We think we're tolerant or this or that. It's because we don't properly appreciate things. But I mean, Yosef was on the
hot. Well, that's what goes on, you know, like, should we allow this Shabbos defecation in other cities, you know, on the buses and the stores, and the Rabbanim are realizing this.
Yeah.
And people say, let them do it, it's okay for them.
Right, it's not because you know those who understand realize that what you call it that we're you know, whatever it's complex.
It's complex.
But in any event, so Yosef, right? So now Yosef, by experiencing right this shaming that he suffered, and he had no questions on Hashem. He didn't have any questions on Hashem. He accepted it. The fact that he accepted what came his way, and he interpreted it as it's all going to eventually be for the good, even though right now it's incredibly bitter, and there's no way that you can understand the good that's in it right now, but I know it's all for the good. He says the fact that it didn't change him, right? Because he just said, you know, God, I'm such a tzaddik. Why are you betraying me? Why are you doing this to me? Why are you doing this to me? Right? You're not fair. He didn't do that. Because he accepted it, he had the strength, not only strength, but he had already accustomed himself to being in a state of shame, right? Being in a state of shame, even though he was certainly not used to that beforehand, that when the wife of Potiphar tried to get him to be over an Avera, He was willing to have her grab his coat and him run outside, what do you call it, even though it was all going to be shame on him, right? Everybody's going to say, oh, look what he's doing. She's got his coat. This is what he's trying to do, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But he was already used to the idea, right, of having been shamed. In other words, had he never gone through the shame that his brothers put him through, right, by tearing off his clothes, throwing him into the pit, selling him as a slave, etc. It would have been too much of a shock. You know, how can I do this, Rico, to go from the lofty level, what I call it, how can I put myself into a state of shame? But because he'd undergone that, he was able to be open to this incredible nisayon, right? Not go against the word of Hashem, even though it brought him incredible embarrassment, incredible shame, right? He was able to do it. So the Sfasema says, Yesh lumot harbi mimatzus halol shabatora ech lekabel kol hanhogas Hashem Yisburach v'simcha v'ava ki unora alila. You see from this that we quote that even when we go through, Hashem shall always spare us hard times, bitter times, right? We should accept it, right? We should accept it with as much simcha and ava as we can, because we never know what this is leading up to. Right, it maybe is going to give us the capacity, right, as it were, to withstand another test, or we call, or to what we call, to rise to a different level, or whatever the case may be. There's always something that's good that's going to come from it. Sometimes you see it sooner, sometimes you see it later, but eventually something comes good, like a good comes from it, even if it maybe is not even in this world, the next world. We always know something good is coming from it. So once again, so Yosef over here is the flame, right? The flame of Yaakov's fire. Yaakov, when he came to the Makom HaMikdash, it was very dark over there, and he said, he didn't believe that he could find Hashem over there, but in the morning after the dreams, he could find Hashem in any circumstance. Yosef now takes it to a new level in the fact that, what he called, his personal experiences, where are you going to find Hashem over here? What he called, I'm a tzaddik, my brothers would want to kill me, they, what he called, they shame me, what he called, they sell me as a slave. No, Hashem is here. Hashem is here. Right, it's all, he's running the show, and everything he's doing is for the good. Then he goes a step further, Sfasemis, in Tafresh Lamed Zion. He says, Yesh li zbonin. He says, let's think about this. After Yosef was omate in the Nisayon of the wife of Potiphar, so you'd say his stock has gone up. I mean, that's an incredible tzaddik. He was only that nisayon. So now you think you'd be on easy street. What happens instead? Asher chacham yigidu, the chacham teaches ki agorul mi nisayon avos. This is the biggest nisayon that any of the avos experienced, right? But achakach nasno adonu beis asurim. And what happened? What's the next thing? He gets thrown into prison. Huh? Hashem. Didn't you see? Like, aren't you taking driver's ed? Aren't you watching? Like, didn't you see? I was just opening this incredible nisayon of temptation, and now what happens is I get thrown into prison also, huh? What's the story? The ne'emar bezeh ki Hashem Yisburach v'sabev ki shetzorach lahanish atzadik yeh onish b'shar asher zchuso rav meod. Says what he calls Sfasemes, that Hashem sometimes does this. That when the tzaddik is on his highest level, that's when he gets cleansed, punished / cleansed for whatever misdemeanors he's been guilty of before in the past. Kasher matzidu, right? Etc. He says that Hashem always, what he called, judges us, right? He brings somebody called. Brings an incredible thing here. Listen to this.
What, further cleansing after he...
Further cleansing, right? And this, what do you call it? First of all, so that it's a greater cleansing, and that also there's another test of emunah in there. I'm being so good, and you're making things harder for me? Like, what's the story? What's the story? Plus also, when his merit is so great, right? So the full impact of what could be the punishment or the cleansing that he needs is softened because he's on it's like it's almost two opposite things, but it brings him to a situation of where, you know, you'd say like, in addition to the cleansing, it's like, are you paying attention? Hey, Rabboni Shalom, are you paying attention? Do you see? Do you see the good I'm doing? Are you making things tough for me? What's going on over here? But no, he doesn't do that. And he brings over here a raya. Look at this unbelievable raya. Brings pretty cool from a medrash. it says, the pasuk says, "V'hu yishpot tevel betzedek, yadin le'umim b'meisharim."
Maybe we shouldn't have had that feeling. Excuse me, interrupting. Go ahead.
Yeah, what?
You know, maybe he felt, I beat the Potiphar's advances. Therefore,
that'll be an easy street. Next thing you know, he's in prison.
Yes, maybe he had the wrong attitude.
No, why? Like,
maybe you shouldn't say that. Maybe he had personal satisfaction. I was able to beat her. Now, Hashem, show me more. Now he says, okay, I'll show you more. Drop your ego.
I hear what you're saying. No, he's not living your life. Okay. He's not living your life. He says, Amr of Alexandria. Alexandri, Dan is a umos b'me sharim shelahem, b'rov b'rach v'yisrael b'rus keitzad omer l'umos olam lamalok. No, this is not what he called. That's not the part I want. He says that he judges the Jewish people. The Medrash says, judges the nations of the world, right? The psikta. It judges the nations of the world when they're asleep. Because then they're not doing anything bad. Right? He judges the Jews when they're in the midst of doing Torah and mitzvos. Right? And this is when they're on their highest level, he judges them. He judges them. Right? Makes them recall. That's because that's their best foot forward. And the second of all, not just their best foot forward, but it really cleanses them even more. Because recall, what's going on? You know, we're getting better and things are getting tougher. What's the story? His own near kibemes ha'masar, he's being imprisoned. Hayonish al adiba, he was being punished now, he's being cleansed for what he spoke out against his brothers. Right? And he needed cleansing for that. But Hashem waited for him, as it were, to be in an even higher level, having been opened to the desire, and then he decided to extract what he called payment from him. Fine.
Why does he judge Jews while they're awake
that they should be on their highest level when he's judging them? In other words, every time, you know, it's like it says, you know, when a yortzeit comes, so you say the neshama is a hobin aliyah. The neshama should have an aliyah. What? Because every yortzeit, what happens is the person has reached a certain level. And now he has an opportunity to rise to an even higher level. But he has to be judged. He has to be judged. Is he entitled to rise to that higher level now? That higher level. So that's why we try to do things. We give tzedakah, we learn Torah, etc. We say Kaddish, etc. for a person. So that when they're being judged now, they should have the merit, right, to rise to a higher level. So too also, now the idea is, since Hashem is not very interested in using punishment as not vengeance. The idea of punishment is cleansing. It raises a person to a higher level. So here's Yosef after he's reached this incredibly high level of being obedient to the salvation of Potiphar, then Hashem says, okay, now we can bring you even higher. Well, now we'll judge you for the tail-bearing you bore on your brothers then, right? To cleanse you of that. In other words, as you rise, as you become stronger spiritually, as you become loftier spiritually, so now you have the capacity, right, to be able to endure, right, the new level of judgment that will bring you to a higher level, to a higher level, to a higher level, to a higher level, etc. Again, it works with people who have tremendous faith. They don't get broken by it. In other words, Yochanan, what you call regular person, could have been broken by this. Mm-hmm. What's the story? I'm doing good. Why am I getting bad? Right? Yosef didn't take that attitude, so then the result was Hashem brought him higher and higher, brought him to a new test, and a new test, etc. So again, we struggle to try we struggle to try and make this way of reasoning part of our worldview. Not so simple, right? But Yosef, we see it. But what we're meant to extract from it is when we're tempted, you know, when we're tempted to say, hey, what's the story? You know, what I do wrong now? I didn't do anything wrong. I'm the heifer. I was being good. Why are things going butter side down? To control that, right? Yeah. Okay, yeah.
So you want to explain the meaning?
Okay, so let's look at this one here. This Vasemis here. Right? Oh, sorry. Actually, he says, recall here at the end of this Vasem, so the end of Tofer Shlomantayin, V'chein b'chol Adam. For us, regular folks, Kefi Masha Metakein Atzmo, the more that you correct yourself, Tzarech Achakach Letakein Ma'asav HaRishonim. Right? You try to fix the things that you made a mistake in before. Right? Like we call, like this experience that you had just the other day. Right? Right? Oh. When the more that you're rising, the more, okay, it's not like, okay, let's forget about the past. No. Let's fix up that also. Umize yikach adam kal v'chomer shalom lovel chas v'sholom lidei gavus b'masa achas v'asos achas v'mitzas Hashem karoi. Person shouldn't think after he's done something right, you know, he staples his thumbs to his suspenders, recall, see what a great tzaddik I am. Lehefech, rak yipol alav yosir pachat. He should realize now, I've risen, and now I should be scrutinized even more.
Wow.
Because I should be scrutinized even more. Because if I want to rise even more, that means I have to get clean up my act, right? On even a higher level now. But you know, recall, others don't become complacent and say, wow, look what I did, look what I accomplished. The bigger you are, the more you have to do, etc. It never stops. He says a fascinating thing over here in this next Vasemis in Tofresh Lamed Zion also for Bayeshev. Bamedrash, it says Vayimain, when he refused, when Ashes Potiphar came and said, he refused. Medrash says on the surface appears to be the weirdest thing. Vayimain. Vayomer Hein Adoni Amar La, he said to her, Lamud Hu HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lios Bocher Me Ahuve Beis Abba La Ola. In my family, he said to her, in my family, right, Hashem sometimes says that the chosen one in the family should be offered as a sacrifice, i.e. referring to Yitzchak, right, that Avram was told bring Yitzchak as a Korban Ola. The Av Reiko Kachnas Bincha Eshma Lech. But if I listen to you, he said to Eshes Potiphar, V'shema Evcha La'ola V'epasol Min HaKorban. If I listen to you, then maybe Hashem wanted to come to me and say, I want you to be an Ola, I want you to be a completely burned sacrifice, but I'll be blemished because I succumbed to your temptation. Now that's the weirdest thing in the world. Says the Svasemis, the idea over here is that Yosef uses whatever he can, right, to keep his vision of life clear. What is life about? What is life about? We talk about the mashal. We all like to believe that if, God forbid, the goyim came to us and said, either convert or die, right? So we'd like to believe that we have the inner strength to be able to say, kill me, and I'm not going to convert. We're willing to die. And yet, when it comes to being over averas, right, in general, we listen to our Yetzirah all over the place. For what? For nothing. For beans. For nothing. Right? God's not asking us what he called to die. Just do the mitzvahs. Don't be over the averas. And yet we succumb to the Yetzirah all the time. So how in the world could that be?
We succumb to something that's really cheap.
Right. It doesn't make any sense. We really believe, and I think we really do have the capacity. If they came to us and either convert or we're going to kill you, we'd say, kill us. Right? Kill us. And yet, on day in and day out, when we're faced with temptation of one sort or another, it doesn't make any difference what it is, we follow our Yetzirah. Even though we know that's totally destructive, and we'd call it's destructive on an eternal level. So what in the world? Well, how do you put that together? Plus, also, if you think about it, if let's say we had on the table here, we had 10,000 bottles of Coke. 10,000 bottles of Coke. And we're going to take a drink of one of the bottles of Coke. And someone comes in and says, listen, my Aunt Sadie, right, has a fox terrier. right? And that fox terrier heard from the next door neighbor's cockatoo, what he called, that there might be strychnine in one of these bottles over here. Would we drink it? We wouldn't drink it. Well, one chance we'd get. What do we say? It's only one chance out of 10,000. For what? For a crummy bottle of Coke? I should take a chance of dying?
It depends if you have a hamburger.
Okay. But you think about it, it's crazy. It doesn't make any sense. It's a paradox. It's a paradox. The reason is because Yira is the same letters as Re'ia. Yira is seeing. What you see is real. What you see is real. So our problem is, right? Is that unless God forbid the Goyim were to come and say to us, either convert or we're going to blow you away, so then our focus, our vision, all of a sudden becomes very, very clear, right? We see the choice between connection to the Ribbono Shalom, right? Or having to choose death in order to maintain that connection. So then our vision is focused. It's like all of a sudden glasses are put on us. It's very clear. But in the normal circumstances, right, we don't look at the world. We don't look at the world of Yira, right? That's not the Re'ia that we have, the Yira world. Our world is, you might call it, you know, the mundane world. And yeah, we have some, we add some from frum stuff here and frum stuff there, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. When it comes to drinking the bottle of Coke, so that's the world that I see. The world that I see. I don't want to die. For a bottle of Coke, I should die. So that's what Yosef is doing. Yosef is creating, right, called a different reality of the way he looks at the world. He's, in my family, what he calls, people were brought to Hashem like an Ola. And what he called, what now if I commit this affair with you, I couldn't be brought for an Ola, etc. The Medrash brings other examples as well. So that's, he's creating, he's painting that reality to maintain always that his picture, his true picture of the world should never dim. That's why he always has faith in Hashem. Because he never slides back into a false vision of the world. He's always maintaining his world of light. He's always there. It's always clear. He's always keeping connected. It clear. Always keeping connected. It clear. Whatever he needs to do to make it clear, make it clear, make it clear. To say an idea, to remember an idea, to look at what he quotes. Every always struggling to keep his vision clear, his vision clear. It's an amazing thing. Amazing thing. And, right, if you think about it, the, right, you see that this is all being orchestrated by Hashem.
Yeah.
It's all being orchestrated by Hashem. Right? Remember when he looked for his brothers, it says, Vayimtsa Ehu Ish.
Right.
Right? Right. Gavriel. Gavriel, what he called Gavriel, sent it to him. This was all being orchestrated, right? All being orchestrated. He got thrown into what he called. He gets thrown into the pit, right? And the interesting terminology over here is it says Vayimtsa Ehu Ish. He was found, right? By what he called by Gavriel. But Rashi says Gavriel to show him where his brothers are. So eventually he would be sold, right? And when his brothers come back. Right, with his bloodied coat to their father. They say, Zos Matsanu, this we found. Once again, the idea of Metzia. Metzia, finding something. Finding something is what he called is a very interesting term. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, three things come what he called when you least expect them. Mashiach, right? Scorpion, right? When you least expect them, and a Metzia. Right? When you're looking around for a $50 bill, you won't find one. And then all of a sudden, you're looking, we walk in the street, and boom, boom, there's a $50 bill. That's crazy. That's crazy. Right? Metziah, Akrav, and Mashiach.
All them.
Right, all the way, yeah, well, no, not the Akrav, but whatever. Metziah, Akrav is the scorpion. Right, the scorpion. So the idea being that all of these events, right, all of these events, which on the one hand, you know, on the surface, right, they look like they're catastrophic, but Yosef has faith inside in Hashem, and in the end, what he's doing is being lifted higher and higher and higher. But also at the same time, there is a hidden agenda over here that's all going to bring him to greatness. He's eventually going to wind up as the Melech, what do you call it, the Melech in Mitzrayim, right, the Melech in Mitzrayim to lead the Jewish people. It's not even here. What you see over here, the Gemara in Sanhedrin. I don't really have the Gemara in Sanhedrin here.
Oh, in the end of Sanhedrin?
Yeah. Here what he called Pinchas Menachem in Gur, he quotes it. He says if you look in all the story of both Yosef and Yehuda, which was also in this Parsha, right? Yehuda, a lot of things going on with him. You see that this terminology of Metzia, being found, is come back and back and back and back over and over again. In other words, where you least expect the good of Hashem to come out, that's where it's coming out. And the things that seem the most bizarre, as he looks at me, points out. So Yaviu El Avim, they brought Yosef's coat to their father. Vayomru Zos Matzanu, this we found. Zos, right, Humalkus Shamayim, right, etc. And then he says over here, he says, Shlosha Boim Behesach Hadas. Three things come when you least expect them. Ve'eluhin Mashiach, Metzia, and an Akrav, right, the Gemara in Sanhedrin. He says, Mitchila Amar Yehuda, Zos Matzano, when they came back to Yaakov, right? They said, this we found, and there's Yosef's coat. Just like it says, Vayimtza Eyu Ish, that Yosef, what do you call, the Gavriel, Kilu, found him in order to bring him to this. V'achakach, Mimaisa Tamar. Now, if you go back to the whole Maisa with Yehuda,
that was all arranged, because they had Yaakov's coat. They didn't, they just said that.
Right, they just said that they used the terminology, because just like the Gemara in Sanhedrin says, that there are three things that come, as it were, in when you least expect them. A Metzia, right? An Akrov, and Mashiach, right? The ultimate leader of the Jewish people, the one who's going to redeem the Jewish people. So if you examine, says Pinchas Menachem Migur, right? If you examine all the events that both involve Yosef, who is what he called, that's one level of leadership, just so we know there's Mashiach ben Yosef, Mashiach ben David, right? There's one level of leadership that the Jewish people need that emanates from Yosef. It comes Bederech Metzia. Once again, it comes from where you least expect it. Right, right. The hint to it is Vayimtza'ehu Ish, again, Metzia, right? Gavriel found him as though just by mistake in order to send him off to meet his brothers to be eventually.
It wasn't really his mistake.
Right, obviously not a mistake, but he uses the terminology Vayimtza'ehu, especially when you call it, especially if the Chazal say that it's Gavriel, it's not, he just didn't find him. He was looking for him, but it looks like he found him. Right? It is just out of the blue. He comes when he called, and he directs Yosef to what looks like it's going to be a catastrophe. But in the end, he winds up being what he called the king of Mitzrayim. So he can lead the way for the Jewish people to go into Golus. He can protect them. He can set standards of tznius and kedusha for them, etc. in Mitzrayim. But this is all part of a master plan. But it comes in a fashion of like a Metzia. Like, where'd that come from all of a sudden? Right, and so too also the story with Yehuda that unfolds in our parsha, in the story of Yehuda and Tamar, right, which are the beginnings of Mashiach ben David, right. If you go back all the way, you go back to what we call back to the parsha of Vayera, right. It starts this terminology Metzia of what looks to be just found and like just chance, but it's not chance. It's harder to the two daughters of Lot, who were saved in what he called in Sodom, they're referred to as Shnei Benosecha Hanim Tsaos, who are found with you. Of course, what comes from them? What comes from them is what he called is Moab and Ammon, and from Moab comes what he called Rus HaMoavia. And from Ammon comes the mother of Rehoboam, and that's where Mashiach has to come from. It comes from there. And then, like again, with Yehuda and Tamar. Once again, Yehuda and Tamar, you find the terminology over and over again with Yehuda and Tamar. Look at this. This is this week's Parsha. Yehuda, he has this union with Tamar, who he doesn't realize is his daughter-in-law. Right? He doesn't realize this is his daughter-in-law. And he has, what he calls, this union with her. And then,
next week's Parsha.
No, this week's Parsha. Oh. This week's in Vayeshev, right? Through this week's Parsha. He has this union with her. And what he called, and then he has to pay her. He has to pay her for services rendered.
Well, it was his daughter-in-law, shouldn't have charged him.
Well, since he didn't know it was his daughter-in-law, she thought she was whatever. Yeah. So he sends his friend there to go pay her, right? So he says, Vayishlach Yehuda as Gdi Yisim, he said he was going to pair with a goat, right? Biyad Re'eo with his friend Adulami, Lakachas Erevon to get back his collateral that he left with her. He left his cloak, he left his signet ring, and he left his staff with her as collateral that he was going to pair, right? Right? Miyad Aisha V'lo Mitza'ah. He didn't find her. Once again, the terminology Mitzia. Vayashev El Yehuda Vayomer Lo Mitzasia. Right? He came back to Yehuda. He says, I couldn't find her. Right? Vayomer Yehuda, let her keep it. Right? We don't have to make a big deal out of this. What do you call it? She's keeping it. What are going to go advertise in the local newspaper? Where's the harlot who was on the corner there? What do you call?
He send one of his sons?
He said, no, he sent a friend. Record. He says, record. Vatalo Matsasa. Again, the terminology, you didn't find her. Over and over and over, Matsasa. And then eventually, when he takes her out, what he called, when she's going to be burned, so it's not quite the same thing. He mutseis, she's being taken out, right? But it's a funny thing. When you were talking about what he called, they're going to take her out to burn her, what he called, when he thinks that she's committed, what he called, adultery of one sort or another, etc. She's being taken out, what he called, here it's not quite Mitzia, but it's also the same letters, right? Mutseis. And it's over and over and over.
That means she gets finally found.
Right, and she's what he called, and then, in other words, out of what looks like the incredible darkness comes instead, yeah, the salvation of the Jewish people. Yosef looks like it's found. It looks like it's chance. It looks like Hashem is not here, right? Why are all these bad things happening to me when I'm being such a good person, etc.? But out of this is found the leader of the Jewish people in Mitzrayim, so the Jewish people are able to survive Mitzrayim without intermingling with the Goyim. And the merit of Yosef and the standards he set up for them and the fact he was able to obtain for them a separate land to live in, they never intermingled with what he called the Jews. He made their stay in Golos possible, right? That they shouldn't be destroyed by it, not just physically, but spiritually. From the story of Yehuda and everything that precedes that, etc., Mashiach ben David also comes with Derech Mitzia. And actually, Rav Pinchas Menachem Migur says that's the idea why the Chazal lumped together the three things. There is, what he called, there is Mashiach, right? The leadership of the Jewish people. Sometimes it appears pleasant, like when you find something, you find a $50 bill, and sometimes it looks like an akrav. Sometimes it looks like a scorpion, which is not a pleasant experience. He says, but it's all leading towards one thing. And it requires the faith, what he called, of the people, right, as it were, to be able to hold on during these times of darkness, and to realize that even though it's a bitter experience, Hashem is leading us towards something that ultimately is good. When we'll experience that good, we don't know, but we know that's definitely the direction that it's going in, and that's exactly what Yosef taught us in all these parshas. He is the extension of Yaakov's fire. He's the flame of what he called of Yaakov. He's tested in every imaginable fashion, right, and tested with also just the most difficult test, which is, Rabbi Shalom, where are you? Like, what do you want from me? What do you want from me? And he stays strong, and from that eventually comes the salvation of the Jewish people.
Very nice.